The Reindeer Rescue
by Sharon Court.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Our story starts very, very near to the end of the school term, just before Christmas. Danny was very excited. All of the children were very excited. In fact, they were so excited they thought they might actually burst! The teachers were trying to be excited, but mostly they were exhausted. Their tired, limp forms dragged around the school, propped up only by the plethora of Christmas decorations they were wearing, reindeer horns, sparkly earrings and various other things. They tried ever so hard to smile and beam at people, but their voices and their faces gave it away.
You stop climbing the wall. You get down from there. You write something.
It was very, very close to the end of term. In fact, Danny was so excited about the end of term that the butterflies in his tummy just kept swirling round and round and round, and he just couldn't concentrate on anything. In fact, he was so excited, sometimes he actually nearly felt quite sick. But then he knew it was just because he was excited because it was Christmas, and so he didn't really mind feeling very excited and sick. He'd been down to the reception desk of the sick room at least 3 times that morning already. His poor teacher had had quite enough of Danny being Danny-ish, and sent him down to Mrs. Redbridge. Mrs. Redbridge was the lady on reception. She wore glasses, and she kept the entire school ship-shape and Bristol fashion, which meant that she knew, somehow, mysteriously, like she had mystical powers or something. She knew where everybody was all the time, even the head teacher, and he hardly knew where he was most of the time. "Now, Daniel," she said, looking at him over the rim of her glasses. Danny hated it when he called her Daniel. "Now, Daniel," she said, "I really don't think you are ill. In fact, I think you and I both know this is just end-of-termitis." "But that sounds like a real thing," said Danny earnestly. "No, no, no. This sounds more like end-of-termitis. I'm very excited about Christmas and trying not to go back to my maths class." Danny stared at her for a bit. He frowned. How did she always know? How did she always know what people were really thinking? "Ugh. But I do feel quite poorly, Mrs. Redbridge," said Danny earnestly. Look, I've got a cough. and my knee is wonky, look." And he stuck his knee out in a funny angle. "Look, I can hardly walk in a straight line because of my knee and my and my cough." "Daniel," said Mrs. Redbridge firmly, "you are going to take yourself and your terrible cough and your wobbly knee right upstairs and back to your classroom." "Yes, Mrs. Redbridge," muttered Danny. Now, Danny's school was a very old-fashioned kind of school. It was built a long time ago out of very big red bricks, and it was on 2 floors. So they had some rooms downstairs, most of the classrooms were upstairs, and they had a hall downstairs and one upstairs. To get back to class, Danny had to go past the head teacher's office upstairs and then to the upstairs floor where his classroom was. If he was very careful about this, this could take him at least 10 whole minutes, which would take him 10 whole minutes closer to break time. Danny was very good at walking in such a way that looked like he was actually moving, but was in fact incredibly slow. On purpose. Deliberately. He could also run incredibly fast if he really wanted to, but honestly, would you run incredibly fast back to maths? Danny wasn't convinced. As he walked past the head teacher's office, he heard a very strange sound. It sounded a bit like this. Pyum pyum pyung! Danny stopped. I mean, properly stopped, not just slow, slow walking stopped. That was a bit weird. He listened. Nope, nothing else. Okay, it must have been his imagination. Took a couple more steps and then pyum pyum pyung! No, that was definitely a very weird sound. The headmaster's office didn't usually make a sound like that. And then Danny did something he's never done before. He walked over to the headmaster's room and peered in through the door. Now, normally, you only went to the headmaster's office if you'd been specially invited or if you were in really, really, really big trouble. Fortunately for Danny, he'd never been in really, really, really big trouble, but neither had he actually been specially invited to something really good, so he had no idea what it looked like inside. He poked his head round the door. The room looked empty. He couldn't see anyone and he couldn't hear anything. But then, pew pew pewing, from the corner where the upright piano was sat. The piano made a weird noise. Pianos don't normally make noises like that. And then Danny did something he'd never, ever, ever done before. He stepped inside the headmaster's office. He lifted one foot, placed it over the threshold, that thin line of carpet between the hallway and the office, and then put his foot down on the carpet inside the headmaster's office, and then lifted the other foot, took it over that mysterious invisible line, and then he found both feet inside the headteacher's office. It was okay, as offices go. It was a room. It was kind of rectangular. There was a window opposite, and next to him was a desk with a computer on and lots of bits of paper and a rubber and a half-empty mug of coffee. And behind the desk, well, it's kind of facing the desk on the opposite wall, was an upright piano in the corner. And then just along from the piano was a small table and a couple of chairs and a slightly dead pot plant. Toing! Toing, 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 pong! Went the piano. That's very weird, said Danny out loud. That is very, very weird. And then he caught sight of, or maybe he heard, I don't know, something made him turn around. And then, ah! That is very weird, said Danny. He was staring at a boy who looked like him, but was a bit older than him, kind of older in his face, but he was wearing the weirdest things. What are you doing in here? Yelped Danny in surprise. Pring, said the piano. Oh, this is not good. This is very, very not good, said the boy earnestly. But, what, who, what are you? Said Danny, staring at the boy in disbelief. The boy was dressed very, very strangely. He had little red boots on, with kind of pointy toes, bright green tights or leggings, little shorts, a red t-shirt, and then he had this funny little red hat jammed on top of his head. Oh, no, this is really not good, said the boy. This is very, very not good. This is becoming almost disastrous. Danny didn't have a chance to ask why this was almost disastrous, because then he heard it. The headmaster's voice coming down the hallway. The headmaster's voice on his way back to his office. The headmaster's voice about to come in the door. Danny and the boy stared at each other in wild panic. And then without a word, both of them dived underneath the desk and crouched there hiding. The headmaster walked in, scratching his head, looking slightly baffled. He did that quite a lot. Now, that is odd, he said. I'm sure I brought it in there. I'm sure I put it down somewhere. This is quite unusual. At least I had it in my hand. No, that's not it. And then the piano made another very strange and unexpected noise. Pyong, 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 pyong. The head teacher stared at the piano in the corner. Hmm, he said to himself aloud. My piano doesn't normally make that kind of noise. I wonder if... But we never found out what he wondered, because at that moment the piano exploded all across the room. Bits of wood and string and keys just flying everywhere, banging into the walls, crashing into the pot plant. Danny and the boy watched from beneath the desk in horror, as in slow motion it seemed, a large chunk of wood headed towards the head teacher, who stared at it wide-eyed. No, he said, in very slow motion kind of voice. Oh, clunk, smacked him in the forehead, and the head teacher crumpled to the floor like a sack of potatoes. Danny burst out from beneath the desk and stared at the man laying prone on the floor. Said the head teacher. Not dead, said Danny. Oh, I thought he might have been dead. No, he is clearly not dead. Look, he is groaning. See, there's the groaning. Can you see it? Said the head teacher on the floor. Oh, What do you mean, can you see him groaning? Of course I can't see him groaning. That's something you listen to. Look, who are you anyway? And what's going on? And what on earth is that? Said Danny. As he turned around to look at the mess, in the midst of where the piano had once been, was now a really large reindeer. A really large reindeer standing in what could only be described as the explosion side of the piano, with bits of piano string and wire hanging off him, and keys dangling, and bits of wood, like some kind of grotesque Christmas tree. Watcher, said the reindeer.
What?
Said Danny. The reindeer shook his head from side to side a bit. The boy absolutely lost it.
This is it! This is it! The final straws! I'm so cross with you! You are in so much trouble! You are the worst reindeer ever! You know, he has the big man, he has the good list, the nice list, and the naughty list. Well, you, Morris, you are on the list all by yourself. Extreme naughtiness! No presents for you for the rest of your life!
Danny stared as the elf grew red in the face, almost hopping up and down with fury. The reindeer, on the other hand, smirked. He shook his head again, and the keys and the strings still hanging to his antlers dangled to and fro like a strange sort of xylophone.
Well, as I am no longer a reindeer, that is not something I am going to be horribly concerned with, said the reindeer.
And he shook his head again, gradually getting rid of all the bits and pieces hanging off his antlers.
Aha! I see I have dismembered the piano.
The piano? Said Danny. What do you mean the piano? You've killed it. It's dead. It's exploded all over the room.
Well, yeah, I was having a bit of trouble getting comfy, I must be honest, said the reindeer, scratching his nose. Trouble is, see, I was...
You were hiding in the piano? Said Danny in disbelief.
Well, yeah. I weren't going to fit in one of them drawers, was I? They're not nearly big enough.
What? I mean, why were you hiding in the piano?
Why do you think he is hiding in piano? He is bad reindeer. Only bad, stupid reindeer would decide to run away and hide in piano. What were you thinking, you stupid tweak head?
Well, I am thinking that I've had enough of being insulted again, so I'm taking myself for a walk, said the reindeer crossly. The last bit of piano fell off his antlers, and he daintily trotted across the room, stepped over the now unconscious but still alive headmaster, turned his head slightly to get his antlers through the doorway, and then poked his head out into the corridor.
No, 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 you are not leaving this room. You are not leaving this building. You are not stepping those hoofs. You keep those hoofs onto the floor. You are not going anywhere.
Morris turned back and looked at the boy, grinned what could only be described as a very cheeky grin, and stepped out of the room and into the corridor.
You are the naughtiest reindeer ever!
And then, quickly after him, the elf, that clearly was what he was, dived over the headmaster and followed Morris into the hallway. Danny stood motionless in the remains of the headmaster's office. He didn't know what to do. Was this really happening? Was there really a reindeer and an elf in his headmaster's office? Had the piano really exploded? Was the headmaster, in fact, unconscious on the floor? Said the headmaster, doing an impressive impression of a zombie at that moment. If I stay here, thought Danny, I'm going to be in so much trouble. Said the headmaster, in a faintly groaned agreement. His eyes were shut, and Danny took that opportunity to also tiptoe past him and get out into the hallway. There were no teachers around, there were no children around, there was no anyone around, and so just fortunately they might get away with it, whatever it was they were doing in the first place, thought Danny in dismay. This is insane! What's going on? I can't believe it! And then as they turned the corner, they reached the reception desk. Now this reception desk, perhaps like the one at your school, had some high up bits and some low down bits. It was possible that Danny and the elf could bend down past the high up bits and not be seen. But a reindeer? Not a chance. However, it appeared that Morris the reindeer had the solution to this. Before his very eyes, Danny watched as the reindeer suddenly got down on his knees and SAS style crawled his way across the floor underneath the lowest part of the reception desk and out the other side. The elf was spitting mad. I mean, he was almost literally spitting. Little bits of spit were coming out of his mouth as he hissed. Don't you, I'm not doing this, you stupid twig. Hey, you come, you stop moving, put those hoofs. What are you doing? Morris the reindeer shuffled his way across the floor and out the other side to the other side of reception desk. He looked back at the elf, who was bristling with frustration, grinned, stuck his tongue out, and then trotted into the lower hall, where, fortunately, no one else was there. There had been a class in there moments before, but they'd gone back upstairs again. Without a further word, the elf, too, fell down to the floor and crawled on his hands and knees like a sniper through the undergrowth, underneath the edge of the desk and back out the other side, and ran into the lower hall. Danny was about to do the same and was, in fact, halfway down into a strange crouch position, looking like he was impersonating some kind of horse dog, when Mrs. Redbridge, who had been on the phone this entire time, finally put the phone down and turned around just to see him in this rather strange crouch down horse dog position. Daniel? She looked at him in disbelief. What are you doing? And how is it it's taken you so long to get from here to, let me see, here? I sent you upstairs 10 minutes ago. Yes, sorry. I there was a problem. I forgot my brain. I mean my book bag in the lunch crate, and I had to come back and get it. Daniel, are you procrastinating? Miss, said Daniel. That's a very rude word. No, Daniel, it's not. It means deliberately wasting time on purpose. Oh, sorry, miss. No, I had to get my... There was a loud crash and a thump from the lower hall. I gotta go get my book bag now. Sorry, miss, bye. And he ran past reception without even waiting for Mrs. Redbridge to give him permission to go, dived into the lower hall and slammed the door shut. The sight that met his eyes was slightly unusual, to say the least. Morris the reindeer was running round and round the hall in gleeful abandon, being chased unsuccessfully by the elf, who clearly couldn't keep up. Morris, being a creature designed for running, was excellent at it, and he leapt gracefully round the hall without even appearing to break a sweat. The elf, on the other hand, was hot, flustered and cross, and going round and round after him without much success. And then Morris saw the other door. The other door that led to the other set of stairs that takes you up to the other upstairs floor, but from the other side. Woo! Said Morris, and then made a dash for it. No! Yelled the elf, and dashed after him. And Danny dashed after both of them. There was a clatter and a rush and a whoosh as they ran up the stairs, one after the other, footsteps pounding and pounding as they went. But the elf finally managed to get the upper hand. He managed to run past Morris on the stairs, because Morris couldn't quite get round the corners with his antlers. And as they came up onto the second floor, he spied an empty classroom. He ran just ahead of Morris, gave him a huge shove sideways, which sent Morris careening into the empty classroom and falling over desks and chairs and making a huge clattery noise. That class in question were in fact in the library elsewhere in the building, so they had no idea about the carnage about to take place in their room. Danny rushed in after the elf and slammed the door shut. What are you doing? He yelled. Do you have any idea what mess you're making? I'm going to get into so much trouble. I am not making the mess, yelled the elf in frustration. I'm not the one running away. I'm not the one making whose problems. You talk to him. You talk to the furry moose reindeer guy. I am just beside myself. And I'm completely out of breath and I give up. And he flumped into the teacher's chair and just sat there, wheezing and trying to get his breath back. Morris reorganised his arms and legs. Well, he doesn't have arms, but his legs anyway, and managed to get back on his feet. He accidentally sent another chair flying and another table toppled over. He was, after all, not a small reindeer. Blimey, mate, could you have made a more worse mess of this room? Look at the state of it. Look at what you've done. But the elf didn't reply. Morris looked at him, tilted his head to one side, and looked thoughtful for a minute. He opened his mouth to say something, then thought better of it, and instead went to have a nose around the classroom. Can someone please explain what on earth is going on? Said Danny. Okay, said the elf. I will be trying to do this. It is taking a little while. You understand I am breaking many, many rules here. Oh, I am going to be so fired when I get home. Fired? Said Danny. Oh, yes. I am newly promoted deputy of the herds, you see. I am new deputy. A deputy, you know, the second in command. Well, I am the second in command. We have many. There is lots of, you know, there. Look, okay. I start at the beginning. My name is Huff and Meisenmeister, but you can call me Huff. What? Said Danny. My name is Huff and Meisenmeister, but you can call me Huff. Did you just cough? No, I did not cough. My name is not Cough, my name is Huff. Hoof? Said Danny. No, not Hoof, Huff. My name is Huff. Oh, okay then. Huff. Who are you? What are you? Where are you? So, okay. I'm in charge of the herds. Well, I'm the deputy in charge of herds. Herds? Well, you mean herds of reindeer? Well, yes, obviously. But I thought there was just one herd of reindeer. What? No, there is many herds of reindeers. Honestly, you think he, the big guy, gets around the whole world in one night with just one team of reindeers? Men, those guys can run, yes, but they can only run for maybe 2 or 3 hours flat out. And then they're all pooped. Poopity poop, and they're not going anywhere, and they're just lying down and wheezing. It's no good. So we have many teams of reindeers. Really? Said Danny. This is news to him. Oh, yes, many teams of reindeers. We have the big, strong ones. They pull the very heavy loads, you know, but they cannot go so fast because they're very big, heavy sack at this point, and you know, they're pulling the load very well, but they cannot go fast. But then we have the small, light teams of reindeers. They're good for the places like the big, wide deserts or the oceans where there's not so many peoples, so there's not so many presents to go around, so they can go very fast, and they make up the time that has been lost by the big reindeers who carry the big loads but cannot go so fast. We have teams, it's like a giant relay race, do you know? A relay, said Danny. No, relay race, you know? The teams of reindeers are positioned all across the planet, in different places, fast teams, slow teams, the big strong teams, you know? And it's like horses. You have big shire horses for big loads, and you have the fast little running race horses who are running the races, but they cannot pull the big things. So the reindeers are the same. So we have them all over the world in different places, and so we take the load from one place to another. And wait a minute, said Danny. A horrible thought had just occurred to him. A horrible thought that made him go cold all over. But if there's more than one team of reindeer, does that mean there's more than one Father Christmas? What? No. There is only one big guy. And actually, he is quite a big guy. Well, he's eating all the mince pies, you know. He's getting a bit round in the middle. But no, he is good. There's only one of him. No, he goes the whole night. He just moves from one reindeer team to the next one, and the next, and the next. And he has, you know, the elves, we help him. We have the delivery team, they go with him. But he is mostly making the entire 24 hours, mostly on coffee. And except when he gets a little bit too much coffee and the ho 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 becomes a ho ho ho, and then we know it is time to swap to the fruit juice or the hot chocolate or something like that, you know. But he's getting better, his diet is improving. He is in different countries. It's very fascinating, you see. In different countries, they leave different gifts for him. So in some places, like here, there's mince pies and carrots, said the reindeer. Yes, and carrots, but in other places, you know, they have different traditions about what they think the big guy is about. So some places they leave him fruits, some places they leave him socks. Socks are good, you know, he gets very cold up there in the atmosphere. But yeah, no, he is making the whole 24 hours. This is only one him. Oh, phew, said Danny. That made me feel really worried then. No, you're all good. However, he, said Huff, suddenly pointing back at Morris. He is no good. He is very bad. He, in fact, Huff had got his breath back and he was warming to his theme now. He is rude reindeer. He is rebellious reindeer. Morris was ignoring this rant and rooting around in a cupboard somewhere. It had the word art written on the side of it. "He is recalcitrant, reindeer," said Hoff. There was a clunk, and then a strange glue, glue, glue kind of sound. Morris backed out of the cupboard hurriedly. "Oh," said Danny. Oh, well, now he's quite a red reindeer, and slightly green and a bit purple as well. Morris!" Morris had upset all the paints in the cupboard, and it was now slowly oozing its way down his shiny fur.
"Ah, you are so stupid! I can't believe you reindeer, you are just completely driving me mental!"
The elf was shaking his fist in the air, and it seemed like that small spark of energy that he'd just had been completely worn out by the frustration and the puddle of paint now pouring out onto the floor. He flumped back into the teacher's chair and breathed heavily, covering his eyes with his hands.
"Look, it ain't my fault, all right? Some of us like to have some choices in life," said Morris.
"Ooh,"
and he said then, "oh, this is good. Look, I'm going to write my name in the paint. Look,"
and he swirled his hoof around in weird swirly shapes.
"Morris."
"That doesn't spell Morris."
"But it might spell Morris if and when I learns how to read me proper and how to write my name. I'd love to know how to write my name. Of course, I don't have any thumbs, so I can't hold a pen. But I could do it like in the paint, couldn't I? I'd love to learn to read. I want to travel the world."
"But you do travel the world," said Danny pointedly.
"Yeah, but the rest of the time, it's all training, training, running, running, pulling, pulling, sleigh, sleigh. They got us working 27 hours a day."
"That is only 24 hours in the day."
"They got us working 8 days a week."
"That is only 7 days in the week."
"They got us eating all this special diet food. And sometimes, just now and then, I'd like to be able to say, I'll have the steak, please."
"Hang on," said Danny. "You're a vegetarian. You're a reindeer. You don't eat steak."
"I know," said Morris indignantly, "but I'd like to be able to choose. I'd like to be able to say, no thank you sir, I will not have the steak, I am an herbivore. Instead I would prefer that lovely lush bunch of carrots what you have there upon your tray. But no, I don't get to choose nothing. I don't get to choose nothing at all. It's all running, running, training, training, blooming, blooming, boring, boring."
Danny couldn't help but smirk. The rain? The red paint, in fact, had now trailed all the way down and was oozing round his toes like a very strange sort of hoof pattern. Danny stepped away to make sure that he didn't get it on his school shoes.
"So what were you planning to do when you ran away?" said Danny.
"Well, I had decided I cannot be in disguise very successfully on account of these large horns what are attached to my head. So I thought to myself, where else are there other peoples and other creatures what have horns attached to their heads? And then I realised I had an epiphany."
"An epiphany," said Danny.
"Yes, one of them. And I decided I would go to Canada, where there is mooses what have horns like me, and so therefore I could be a tourist attraction in Canada, and the tourist will take my photo."
At this point, Morris started prancing around, looking like a big show-off.
"And I will stand there carefully for the tourists, and I will say, hello, I am a moose. Kindly have your photograph taken with me, for clearly I am a tourist attraction. And they'll look at me and they'll say, my, what a fine-looking moose he is. I will have my photo taken with that one. And I will get lots of attention and carrots, and I will not have to do all the running, running, slaying, slaying, boring, boring stuff."
There was a groan from the teacher's chair across the room.
"Yes, but the problem is that there are consequences to your choices. You, your choices, and your big fat bottom!"
"What?"
said Danny.
"What?"
said Morris.
"What's my bum got to do with it?"
"The problem is your bum and the GPSs."
"The what?" said Danny.
"The GPSs, you know, the sat-nav."
"Father Christmas has sat-nav," yelped Danny in disbelief. "But I thought he knew. I thought the reindeer knew where to go."
"Oh, yes, I know. Some of them, they do have, you know, they just had the instinct, you know. Him, Morris, yes, he is stupid, but he has the instinct. I ain't stupid. Look, I wrote my name in the paint. Morris, yes, we have seen it already. No, you see, some of them, they do have the instinct, yes. Rudolph, now he, oh,
He was a legend. You could tie that guy up backwards in a sack, spin him round, and he could always tell you where he was and know exactly how to get home.
But Rudolph doesn't do it anymore, said Danny.
What? No, he is retired. Man, the poor old chap, he has run many, many millions of miles. You don't think you're going to run him into the ground? No, no. The old guy, the big guy, he retired him. So to make him nice and comfortable, he is great. He trains the little reindeers, you know. He teaches them how to do it. But the other reindeers, some of them, they have the instinct. They can go, you know, they can go where you point them. But no, not all of them. They just go in the right, you know, they just go where you tell them. Some of them, they cannot even tell the left from the right. It is very worrying. The technical team, the technical department, they had this little brainwave. They said, oh, my brain is waving. I have a little idea. And so they made the GPSs. It's a little tracking device that helps us know where the reindeers are, and it helps to direct them to where they need to go. And then the technical department, they had a little joke, hee hee, and they made it into little round red button shape that can fit on the harness at the front, so it's like the reindeers have the red nose, you see? It's a little joke, hee hee. But then, you see, what is happening is stupid bum here, he said, turning to Maurice. What? My bum ain't stupid. No, but your bottom is having the GPS stuck to it, isn't it? Maurice turned round at this point, and sure enough, big red flashing button stuck to his bum. Oh! Well, that explains quite a lot, actually. I must admit, my buttocks were feeling slightly tingly. I was thinking it was because I had had those curried carrots. But I see now, I was in error. It was, in fact, this thing here stuck to my bum. He flicked it off and it landed on the floor with a crunch. Oh, I am losing the plots. I am losing the William to live. I am losing the bum, 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 bum. Everyone stopped. What was that? Said Danny. Bum, 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 bum. A repetitive thudding on the roof above the classroom. That's weird. The roof doesn't normally make that kind of noise. No, I am not thinking many roofs are making that kind of noise unless... Bum, 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 bum. Oh, no, said Huff. The roof began to creak and groan. Before Danny's very eyes, as the bum 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 kept happening, the roof and the ceiling began to creak and groan. He watched as it began to dip downwards, as the ceiling itself began to bow into a strange kind of shape. It began to creak, and it began to groan. What is going on? You see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You have run away, not knowing that you have the GPS stuck to your butt. And so now, all of the other reindeers and all of the herds are following the GPSs to your bum! At which point, the ceiling completely collapsed. There was an awful creaking, groaning, crashing sound. Bits of wood and tiles and dust and moss and all kinds of things came raining down into the classroom, followed by a sea of reindeer, one after the other, trotting down through the hole, through the classroom door, and out into the upper hall. One after the other, just this never-ending sea of reindeer. And as they came through the hole, they were chatting to each other so pleasantly. Oh, I say, it's awfully nice here, isn't it? Yes, terribly sunny, not at all like the North Pole, awfully chilly up there. Yes, it really is. Do you think they have any carrots? Honestly, tell me, is this my left hoof or my right? They streamed in through the door until eventually there was none of them left. Maurice stared, his mouth hanging open. Huff stared, his mouth hanging open. Danny stared, his mouth hanging open. And then Maurice, never one to resist an opportunity to find out something he shouldn't be doing, splodgily made his way across the classroom and out the door. Now, when children go from one class to another in your school, or maybe they go out to play, or perhaps they go out to a PE lesson, I imagine they must make a fair amount of noise. You can usually tell, can't you, when one class is going out and another one's coming in. Imagine how much noise a herd of over 100 reindeer makes in an upstairs school hall. Yes,
It was very, very noisy. Of course, all the teachers and all the children in all the classrooms upstairs heard it, and the children were pressing their faces against the door, trying desperately to see out so they could see what was going on. The teachers grabbed onto the door handles and braced themselves. No! No, you can't go out! No! Get back! Down! Get down! No! Stay away! Stay away! I can't let you out! Holding onto the door handles for dear life. The reindeer herd was just ambling around the place, looking at each other, chewing on a little bit of cable, nibbling on a door handle, that sort of thing, minding their own business, happily doing this, that and something else. And then, from the other side of the hall, staggered a figure holding a bag of frozen peas to a very large egg-shaped lump on his head. I've no idea where he got the peas from, but they were wrapped in a tea towel, a very festive-looking tea towel. However, the headmaster, whose head now had this enormous egg-shaped lump, he did not look quite so festive. "Ah," he said, "a herd of reindeer in my upper hall. Marvellous. Just what I've always wanted. Thank goodness we don't have Ofsted in today. Would someone like to tell me why we have a herd of reindeer in my upstairs hall? Perhaps you," he said, pointing at Danny across the hall. Danny gulped, his shoulders slumped, and he looked at the floor. "Or maybe you," said the headmaster, pointing at the elf, Herf, who looked sheepish and looked at the floor. "Or maybe you," he said, pointing at Morris, who grinned stupidly and tried to make swirly paint patterns on the floor with the paint that was still dripping from his hooves. Their teachers were getting desperate. They could barely hold the children in any longer. The head teacher sighed. "Right, okay. Let them out one at a time. Just one at a time. They can sit around the edges of the hall. We'll find out what's going on. Just don't break the doors. I don't want anything else broken today. Have you seen the state of my office?" The teachers gradually let the children out, one at a time, until they were ringing the room all around the outside. They were chattering excitedly to each other, and the reindeer were chattering excitedly to each other, and the poor head teacher thought his head was going to explode. He grabbed one of the PE teacher's whistles and blew hard. "Well, that didn't work," said the head teacher. "Let's try that again." Everyone went quiet. "Right. Perhaps someone could explain something to me. Anything to me." "We are all doomed," said Huff. "We are all doomed. Christmas is doomed. Everything is completely doomed." "Yes, all right, let's not have any more drama," said the head teacher. "Why exactly are we all doomed?" said Hoff, weeping and wiping his face on his sleeve. "I'm the deputy. I'm going to be so fired." "Why are you going to be fired?" said the head teacher pointedly. "Because Christmas is going to be completely ruined." At this, all the children went very, very quiet. Even the reindeer stopped talking. "You see, the herds for the big relay race, you know, to get the presents to all the children on time. They're supposed to be all in the right place, you know? They're meant to be in the right places, but the GPS is all completely wonky-squonky, and now they're all here in the middle of your school. And Christmas Eve is like 3 days away, and if I don't get all the reindeers back into the right place, then they won't get the parcels to the children, and then there won't be any Christmas, and I will be so fired, and I will be the only elf in the whole history of the world who made Christmas go wonky." Huff continued sobbing, but the children were completely silent. They couldn't believe their ears. Surely Christmas wasn't cancelled? That can't be right. A little girl in year 3 put up her hand. "But he will come, won't he? He's got to come." Someone else said, "But I wrote him a letter. I wrote it in my best handwriting. It took me ages." And someone else said, "But it's not Christmas if he doesn't come. It's not really Christmas if he doesn't come. He's got to come." The head teacher didn't know what to say. Danny didn't know what to say. Herf wiped his face, but he didn't know what to say. But there was someone in the room who did know what to say. Morris cleared his throat and stepped forward, leaving painty footprints on the floor. "Ladies and gentlemen, fellow reindeer of the herd, I can see that I have made a huge error in my thinking. I was being selfish. I was fed up with not being able to explore the world and choose things how I wanted them to be. And I did not realise that by running away and trying to pretend to be a moose in Canada, that I would actually be causing jeopardy to Christmas itself. You see, I suppose, in truth, all this time we've been training, you know, and running and running and pulling and pulling and slaying and that, I forgot all we worked for. I kept thinking we was working for the big man, you know, working for the elves and that." And he turned to look at the children. "But of course, really, I work for you, don't I?" The little girl smiled at him. "I forgot that what I was really doing, I was doing for you lot." "And so I have decided," he said, standing up straight suddenly, "that I will do my best, on my utmost. I swear on my reindeer's honour," he said, putting his hoof against his antlers and splattering his face with paint. "I swear on my reindeer's honour that I will do my best to get the herd back to the North Pole so that we can get to the right places in time for the delivery for D-Day." The reindeers cheered. "And I swear this on my solemn reindeer's honour, with the solemn reindeer salute." And at that moment, he tilted his head sideways, crossed his eyes and stuck his tongue out. "What?" said the head teacher. And then to his astonishment, all the other reindeer did exactly the same thing. They stuck their heads sideways, made their eyes go crossed and stuck their tongues out. The little girl laughed. Morris walked over to her and patted her on the head with his hoof, which was quite hard, and left a splattery paint smear on her hair. "You're going to pull a funny face? And that's going to reassure us that Christmas is back on schedule?" said the headmaster in disbelief.
"I beg your pardon, sir. You are being very rude. On my sacred reindeer honour, I have made the sacred reindeer salute. How dare you question my integrity?"
"Oh," said the head teacher, looking very sheepish. "I'm very sorry."
"Yes, I should think so. The reindeer salute is a very honourable and ancient tradition, what comes down from many years of reindeers. So don't you go sticking your tongue out at me like that, son."
I'm very sorry," said the head teacher.
"Right, fellas and girls of the reindeer type, I think we have done all the damage we can do in this place. I think it's time for us to be heading home."
The children cheered excitedly. The head teacher winced as his head began to throb, and Danny smiled. Hulf turned and gave Danny a big hug.
"I think I know which list you are being on this year."
"Come on then, fellas, off we go. Time to depart."
And with that, Danny watched in amazement as Hulf ran across the floor, did a big jump, and then just seemed to float in the air. He soared through the hole, and just as he cleared the roof, there was a pshoo noise, and he vanished, going so fast you could barely see him, like a streak of brown in the sky. And all the other reindeers, without another word or instruction, did exactly the same thing. They ran slowly up towards the hole in the roof, began to float through it, and then disappeared like a whole series of brown rockets. Pew, 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 all the way through until they were completely gone, and the hall was empty. Christmas that year was a very, very, very exciting thing indeed. All the children knew that there was an awful lot resting on it, and they were just so excited. Would the reindeer get back in time? Would they get back to their right places? Would the big man make it? And on Christmas morning, there were some very, very smiley, happy faces indeed.
After Christmas, when everyone made it back to school, there was a new member of staff at the school. A not always there, just sometimes coming to visit member of staff at the school. "I had a chat with the big man," Morris explained, "and he's agreed what I can come and visit so I can learn to write and read proper. On condition that I behave myself better at home and make sure that I do my training properly, like."
"I think that sounds like a very good idea," said Danny.
"I thought so. So I'm going to start in the library, because that's where the books are, innit? And the librarian said he was going to help me to choose a good book. And I like chewing, so I thought that maybe I could chew a good book and then they'll learn me how to read it."
I don't think he meant choose in quite the same way that you do. But at that point, Morris had bounded across the hall and off into the library, and Danny decided that maybe the librarian could try and explain it a little better.
"Are we allowed to have a reindeer in the school?" said Danny to the head teacher who had just walked up.
Well, I think, you know, it's educational. We can do educational. I'm okay with that. Besides, I think Morris and I have reached an understanding."
"An understanding?" said Danny.
"Yes. I don't know what it is we understand exactly, but we've reached an understanding. It involves waving and smiling."
"Hey?"
Morris stuck his head back through the library door for a moment, having the librarian just wrenched a book out of his teeth, and spotted the head teacher. Morris tilted his head sideways, crossed his eyes, stuck his tongue out, and went, "Bleh!" And then, to Danny's complete astonishment, the head teacher did exactly the same thing. Tilted his head sideways, crossed his eyes, stuck his tongue out, and went, "Bleh!"
"You see?" said the head teacher with a smile. "Smile and wave. I've no idea what it means, but apparently it's important."
And that is the end.